when I look back in terms of how we handled it, I think we handled it the way it should have been handled. Unless the American people genuinely think that the professionals in the CIA, the FBI, our entire intelligence infrastructure are less trustworthy than the Russians, then people should pay attention to what our intelligence agencies say.
So that was President Barack Obama scolding us that we must listen to our intelligence agencies. They're telling us that that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians and we have to believe them. I mean, why would you listen to any other source, for heaven's sake, he's saying. Of course, he was central to the entire thing. He's the one that ordered the intelligence agencies to counter their own intelligence that said these reports of Russian interference were not real. They were false. They were falsified. He knew that, and yet he ordered them to rewrite it. He ordered his James Clapper, John Durham, a whole team they put together to rewrite it, and the FBI cooperated with the whole thing. Well, we're going to talk about this today because there's a lot of news, and also because I don't want you to forget. I think it's so important. We have to stay on this. And Bruce is going to join me, and we're going to try to flesh out some of these things for you as we flesh them out for ourselves. Mark Levin writes on Obama. He said, Obama is the key to uncovering the full extent of the Russian collusion scandal and the effort to sabotage the Trump campaign and presidency. I do not believe the Supreme Court's immunity ruling, that's the one that President Trump got when he was being impeached again, provides Obama with blanket immunity. Others go on to say that Obama was not, this was not something he did as part of his presidential duties. This was collusion. This was something of another name. And so he may not have protection at all. And some also say he may appear in an orange jumpsuit yet. Well, wouldn't that be something? Well, are you ready for some amazing news? Because of you, Preborn has rescued over 38,000 babies this year alone. Right now, hundreds of thousands of moms are awaiting the birth of their precious babies, and thousands upon thousands of babies are taking their first breath. Your impact, the things that you have done, is reaching eternity. But the challenge of abortion has now reached the home front at exponential levels, with harmful pills taking a significant toll on innocent lives. Vulnerable women are facing these situations more alone than ever, and their babies, unborn, are in greater danger. But through Preborn, we have a way to reach them. In that fragile moment when everything hangs in the balance, Preborn shows these moms a photo of their baby, an ultrasound, a real picture of the baby moving. And for just $28, you can introduce an at-risk baby to their moms through ultrasound. Once she sees that precious life and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life. All of you that listen to the show on a regular basis know what I'm going to say next. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy to make your most generous donation and continue this fight to save babies and their moms. Well, today, again, Bruce is going to join me, and we're going to flesh out. There'll be a lot of things that you will be familiar with, but a lot of things that you won't be. There's a lot of new news, and we're going to probably go into most of it. So I hope that you'll stay tuned.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Sources tell our Justice Department team that Attorney General Pam Bondi is moving to the next step in her investigation into the intelligence surrounding the 2016 election during the Obama administration. Bondi has personally ordered an unnamed federal prosecutor to present evidence to a grand jury relating to an alleged conspiracy to tie then 2016 presidential candidate Donald Trump to Russia. Justice declined to comment on the investigation. It's unclear where the grand jury will meet, who will testify, or who specifically prosecutors will try to indict. A week and a half ago, the Justice Department announced it had created a strike force to evaluate evidence that Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard had referred to DOJ. Last month, Gabbard declassified intelligence that she maintained shows that in 2016, Obama administration officials manufactured and politicized intelligence to undercut then-President-elect Trump and his incoming administration. Democrats contend that nothing Gabbard has released counters the widely accepted conclusion that Russia meddled to help the Trump campaign. They say Gabbard's allegations are just a distraction. The Justice Department is still early in the process of securing any possible indictment. Prosecutors would take evidence to a grand jury to determine if there's enough to indict. Grand juries do meet in secret, so there is often information presented there that the public will not have access to.
Okay, Rich Edson of Fox News and Sandy Rios with you, along with my sweetheart, Bruce. Hi, honey.
Good morning.
All right, Mr. Former FBI agent and a former prosecutor, we have lots of things to talk about. This is the latest news, really, and these proceedings, this happened just yesterday as we're speaking to you. This is Tuesday, August the 5th, as we're recording. Pam Bondi has initiated grand jury proceedings. We've all been wondering what's happening next and hoping that will happen quickly without delay. So it started, but Bruce, I don't really know what that means. What does it mean, what they just said that she's doing?
Well, what a grand jury does is they are empowered to look at documents, to hear witness testimony. A grand jury is normally run by a U.S. attorney. So Ms. Bondi will, I still don't know where they've decided on opening or convening this grand jury. You know, there's thoughts that they do not want to do it in Washington, D.C. because of the huge bias of people that sit, that live in Washington, D.C., because what a grand jury is, it's a collection of people. It's usually, let's say, like 23 people that are taken from the community. And, you know, they're picked at random. It's like jury duty. And they sit for a long time. They could sit for a month. They could sit for several months because grand juries don't really have an ending point until either indictments are brought or they decide not to indict somebody. So what will happen is these people will be impaneled. They'll be sworn to pay attention and to fairly judge the evidence. The prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, will bring people before them. He will also bring documents before them. And the prosecutor is trying to establish whether or not there was a crime committed. And after he's finished or she's finished presenting the evidence, the grand jury will vote as to whether or not to indict someone. And all a grand jury takes is a simple majority
indict
someone. So if it's 23 people, they need 12 grand jurors to say, yes, we should indict them.
And it's all under seal, right? It's all secret. Will we ever know? We won't know where they are.
We'll know because the jury, people love to talk. They are not supposed to talk about that being the grand jurors. They are not supposed to talk about what they hear inside. But, you know, people are people. And just as you hear about what happens in trial, jury deliberations and trials, you'll hear the same thing from the grand jury.
Okay, let me ask you this question, Bruce: Who would you look into first?
Well, I have a real feeling about James Clapper, and the reason I do have this feeling is that I think he may be the one person that might actually have some shame in them, and also he has circumstances that other people don't. James Clapper is 84 years old. You know, he's nearing the end of his life, probably. He's been in military. He was lieutenant general in the U.S. Army. When I watch him lie, it seems to bother him. When I watch people like Brennan and Comey lie, they seem to revel in it.
Oh, could I just interject that Bruce was for many years a polygrapher. A lie, in other words, the old lie detector. That's what Bruce did for the FBI for many years. And so he kind of smells a rat, and he's usually right about it. You know, I'm going to prove your point about James Clapper, because Charlie Hurt was on Fox talking about this just, I don't know when, in the last few days. And I want you to hear this. I think it will make your point. This is clip one.
DNI James Clapper wrote the following on December 7th of 2016. Quote, "We assess that foreign adversaries did not use cyber attacks on election infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential outcome this year. We have no evidence of cyber manipulation of election infrastructure intended to alter results." Fast forward to 2019, and Clapper was singing a different tune after then Attorney General Bill Barr said the Trump campaign was spied upon.
I thought it was both stunning and scary. I was amazed at that and rather disappointed that the Attorney General would say such a thing. He just has a feeling that there was spying against the campaign. We're losing sight here of what started all this, and that was the Russian meddling, the Russian interference in our election process. And the Russians pose a profound threat to this country.
Okay, so you heard what Charlie said. He quoted Clapper that was 2019 when he said what he said, okay?
Yeah.
And this thing started in 2016. So he had claimed publicly that there was no interference from a foreign government in the election.
Right. And actually, I didn't get to that yet. That's one of the reasons also that I think that Clapper is very vulnerable here, because he is on record on multiple occasions giving diametrically opposed opinions. And if you notice there in the 2019, the second part of his statement, Clapper, you know, he says, "Well, I'm stunned. I'm really surprised by this, and I have a feeling." You know, you don't hear him say, "This is absolute garbage. We know exactly what the Russians did. Here's what they did, and here's how they influenced the election." He doesn't say that. He just uses broad terms that the Russians are a threat. He does not, you know, when Brennan testifies or when Comey testifies, they try to make it sound like the facts are this. And when Clapper testifies or is asked about things later, he speaks in very general terms, as if I'm caught here. And I just sense that he knows they've been caught.
Yeah.
The others, I think, They're still living in a wonderland. They think nothing is happening here that proves that they were liars. I think Clapper knows. He's on record, and the documents are there, and they've been caught, and now it's time to figure out what to do for yourself.
And actually, we have John Brennan's notes, his handwritten notes from meetings that he had with Obama in the Oval Office when this cadre, like Clapper and Comey and Susan Rice and all of them gathered together. We have his notes from that meeting, so he's in trouble too. I've heard it speculated, Bruce, that they're doubling down because they don't really have, they're like caught. They're in a web, in a net, and they're not willing to kind of be hung yet.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch the interaction between these people who were very close colleagues at one point. And, you know, it just, the irony that just drips from this whole situation, because how many times did we hear from people in the administration under Obama that this is all a conspiracy theory? It's crazy. It's, you know, like Obama's statement that you just played where, well, you'd have to believe that the Russians are more trustworthy than the intelligence committee, community. Well, I can tell you what, this is not a theory. This is a conspiracy. If you ever wanted to have the parts laid out that's a conspiracy, it's this. It's an agreement between several people here to commit a crime, and not only to agree to commit it, but what's required in it is, we've talked about in the past, to have a criminal conspiracy, you have to have an act taken in furtherance of the conspiracy. Well, we have had thousands of acts taken to and they're continuing
they're
right
continuing.
Now.
Continuing. Yeah, just like Clapper and Brennan just wrote a piece in the New York Times, an opinion piece, denying everything. And I'm going to get to the media in just a second, and I'll go into that. Yeah. But yeah, they're continuing it.
We have to remember, what's going on here is not something that's unique. There's actually a term for what is happening here, or did happen back in 2016. It's called a false flag operation. A false flag, it's a naval term, And it, what it is, it's a covert action that's conducted either by a nation or a group of people, and it's intended to deceive the public. And it's to deceive you into believing that the act was carried out by someone else. It's to obscure the truth as to who actually did these things and to assign blame to somebody else. And that's what we have here. The way it was a naval term is back in the 1800s, ships used to say a British ship flew an American flag to try to lure them in.
False flag.
A false flag.
Okay.
And then as the American ship approached thinking, oh, this is a friendly, the British run the British flag up the pole and then start shooting at the American ship. Right. I mean, that's what a false flag is. So really, that's exactly what we have here. It's a classic misdirection play, a diversion by the Obama team.
You know, I think we should briefly, last week Bruce and I did a long session together where we explained what was happening. When after Tulsi Gabbard made this all public and said she was referring it to justice for treason. She actually used the root.
Yeah, treasonous.
But anyway, we had a long discussion about that, but I think, and I would refer you to that because you're going to hear some things there that you, I found it interesting. We're going to talk about the annex too. We told you about that annex before I think anybody was talking about it because we got it from people that are working on it. That's all I can say. And we're going to talk about that again today because that's been released. But before we get to the annex, basically, Bruce, the rundown is that the intelligence agencies of the United States of America had determined, and they wrote in their presidential morning brief every morning for I don't know how long, that the Russians were not interfering, they weren't doing it, they didn't have the capacity, and that they weren't really interested, they didn't want to help anybody in the campaign, they weren't, and they thought if they were going to help anyone, they would help Hillary.
Yeah, and this was in the lead up to the 2016 election.
Right. So Obama wasn't happy about that. And so he decided that he would assign a group of them to write a different report, a little different report, a report that said that, oh, as a matter of fact, the Russians are colluding with President Trump. He's a Russian asset. And they did interfere with the election. And the reason Hillary Clinton lost was because of Russian interference. And so this is all happening in the lead. President Trump has been elected by this point. They meet in the Oval Office. They make this. They scheme all of this out. James Comey is a real champion in this story because he, when some of the other intelligence agencies did not want to come up with some alternate report that was actually a lie, he said, oh, no, he was going to go with this one. And then they threw in there, they said they had further evidence, and it was the dossier, the false, wicked, tabloid-like, stupid dossier. And so Comey was actually the one that leaked that to the New York Times. So it's a plot that just spread and spread and spread. And that's what Tulsi told us when she announced about 10 days ago, 12 days ago. So now we mentioned to you guys on our last discussion of this last week that there was an annex to the Durham report. Remember, John Durham was assigned to find out all about this, to just investigate whether it was Russian collusion. And when he finished it, we still didn't have answers. We had some incriminating things, but we didn't have the most important part, which was the annex, which didn't get released until Chuck Grassley, the senator, released it just a few days ago, because I think President Trump ordered this released, and Chuck Grassley's been wanting to do that for a long time, too. So, Bruce, how about you and I both been, let's just ping pong on this. The classified appendix to the Durham report, what did it tell us? Could you just give us one or two things?
Well, there were some stunning revelations about what was called actually the Clinton plan.
The Clinton plan.
The Clinton plan.
Which wasn't in the Durham report.
Yeah, they happened to miss this. And the Clinton plan was a plan to link Donald Trump to Russia and to Russia organized crime. In other words, she was going to, because she knew that the Russians had her email and that they could probably blackmail her, she decided, I need to turn this around and I need to make it look like Donald Trump coordinated with the Russians to steal my email and to torpedo my campaign. So anyway, the annex definitely lays out that there was a plan by the Clinton campaign to try to link Donald Trump to the Russians, which was all based on false information. A thing that I found very interesting was the report pointed out the FBI's failure to adequately investigate the intelligence that was used to back up the supposed Clinton plan.
Because they had all, what we're just talking about, they had that. They knew about this annex. They knew all this information.
Yeah. And, the FBI was aware that misleading information had been used to get the original FISA warrant to go after the Trump campaign. If you remember, the first person targeted by the FISA court was Carter Page. Now, why was Carter Page selected? Well, he was an advisor to President Trump when he was running the first time. Carter Page had been a CIA asset, and the reason he was a CIA asset is because he was in the energy business in Russia. So it was very, I had a friend that used to do business in Russia, and when he would come back from his trips over there, I would talk to him to see if he had anything of value to give us about, you know, it could be very mundane things about like what's their food supply like, what's the mood of the people. But someone like Carter Page, they would have access to some high rollers in Russia. So again, here we go with the slyness of the Clinton campaign. They think, oh, we got a guy that's on Trump's staff who's got Russia connections. Yeah. We can say, here's the connection to Russia. And so when the FISA warrant was gotten, the FBI intentionally left out that Carter Page was a CIA asset and that he gave information about Russia. They made it look like he was just a businessman over there doing business in Russia and helping Trump to have relations with Russia, which was a total, you know, a 180 degrees.
And they tried to destroy his life. He's just one of the first people. Yeah. So they
also talked about in the annex the FBI's mishandling of the Steele dossier. You were just talking about the dossier. Remember, this is really the crux of what's going on right now, is there's a big argument and a lot of deception as to whether or not any of this would have gone anywhere had the Steele dossier not been included in those FISA warrants. And John Brennan and Clapper and them have been lying under oath, I think, that that the Steele dossier was not used in those FISA applications, when in fact they were. And in fact, John Brennan, as the head of the CIA, and James Comey, who was the head of the FBI at that time, they insisted when these applications were made to the FISA court to get surveillance on people within the Trump campaign that the Steele dossier, quote-unquote, facts be included in that application, knowing full well that this dossier, quote-unquote, I don't even know why they call it a dossier, it's a bunch of garbage, this was prepared by Christopher Steele, who actually was working for the Russians. Hillary hired a guy who was working for the Russians, doing intelligence for them, to write this report. The Democratic committee paid for this report. They falsified how it was paid for. Where do we start with all the things that were done wrong with this dossier?
And Comey knew all of this.
And Comey knew all this, and we now have proof, I believe, in the declassified documents that have been come out from Tulsi Gabbard, that Brennan and Comey were the driving forces to knowingly include this dossier, knowing it was all made up.
You know what? Let's play. I've got a clip of Comey testifying before Congress on these things. I think it'd be a good time to listen to it. This is clip 3.
There should be no fuzz on this whatsoever. The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle. They did it with purpose. They did it with sophistication. They did it with overwhelming technical efforts. And it was an active measures campaign driven from the top of that government. There is no fuzz on that. It is a high confidence judgment of the entire intelligence community, and the members of this committee have seen the intelligence. It's not a close call. That happened.
Listen to that. Bruce, if that isn't lying under oath, I don't know what is. Because he knew exactly that it was a total lie. He knew that the intelligence agency said Russia didn't interfere and that they changed the wording. And he was part of that. So Sean Davis actually is another pundit that I like a lot. And Sean had a comment on what Comey had to say. And let's listen to that. That's clip four.
Yeah, it turns out there was a lot of fuzz about it. And it's fascinating what we're learning, you know, 8 years later. That by itself is a scandal, that it took 8 years for us to learn this information, that there was actually a great deal of debate within the so-called intel community about the nature of the Russian threat. We now know that there was a lot of doubt about this idea that Russia was desperately trying to help Trump to win, that it was this some sort of profound technological effort. You know, based on what we know, based on the intel community's own words, there were no real cyber attacks to change votes or go after infrastructure. And we also know that the extent of their technological chicanery and shenanigans came down to, you know, some Facebook ads and some Twitter memes.
Right.
And so it's just fascinating looking back in hindsight and seeing the efforts that these people, Comey and Brennan and Clapper, these corrupt people, the efforts they went to delegitimize Trump's victory, number one, that was the first goal. And then the second goal is to cripple his administration and cripple his presidency. That's the scandal here.
You know, Bruce, I was just thinking, you mentioned this, but remember Hillary Clinton is running for president. She hates Donald Trump. They had this debate, and remember this famous moment, something about she's talking about how horrible he will be, and he says, yeah, it's a fine president, you'll be in jail. You'll be in jail. That was a horrifying moment for her, but she thought she had it in the bag because they were plotting this whole Russia thing the whole time. And this explains why we all remember when Trump won, you and I remember this, the 2016 election, we were all shocked, but nobody was more shocked than Hillary Clinton. She was shocked. They thought they had it all figured out. No wonder, Bruce, it kind of explains the earthquake better than we've ever understood it.
Yeah, they really did think they had the whole thing greased. And, you know, I always laugh to think, because we know that President Obama has no nice feelings for Hillary Clinton. In fact, it's been documented that they really dislike each other. And I thought, how much must Obama hate Donald Trump to go out on a limb to try to discredit what happened from Trump to Hillary Clinton? It never ceases to amaze me the loyalty, whether they want it or not, that people show to Bill and or Hillary Clinton. And here was Obama lining up to try to take away the sting of what happened to Hillary. What we need to remember, too, when we're talking about all this, is we have documented proof, and now it's really come out with the declassification that, okay, Donald Trump is elected in November of 2016. He's about to assume power, I believe, around the 20th of January. We have documented meetings on two occasions, once in December of 2016 and once in January of 2017, where it includes President Obama, Vice President Biden, James Clapper, who was the head of the DNI, Brennan, who was the head of the CIA, James Comey, the head of the FBI, Susan Rice, who was a national security advisor.
Loretta Lynch?
Loretta Lynch, who was the attorney general. Boy, she's kind of slipped through the cracks here, but maybe not anymore. Probably Jake Sullivan, who was a national security advisor. There were lots of people in the room for these meetings, and we now have proof that here was the point of that meeting, is up until that point, any of the assessments that that President Obama was receiving every morning regarding whether or not there was Russian interference that actually affected the outcome of the election in 2016 was a negative. There may have been attempts to influence it, but the opinion of all of these agencies, I think there were 18 at the time, intelligence community agencies, was that there was not any Russian interference that affected that Donald Trump won the election. The outcome of these meetings, though, is basically we have it now. Obama ordered the intelligence community people to do a 180-degree change of their assessment of whether or not the Russians had interfered with the 2016 election. Now, just before Donald Trump is to assume power, they come out with this assessment that Donald Trump is tied seriously to the Russians and that
he's a Russian asset.
That he's an asset, and that basically what they were trying to do was undermine President Trump's presidency right from the get-go. And one of the reasons they needed to do this was look at all this evidence that was sitting there in the documents of the U.S. government. And now Donald Trump is going to take over and have access to all this information. Of course they were scrambling like crazy.
Right, which is why you always say the reason Comey stepped up to be in the FBI director again, because he was the one that was going to be there to make sure that none of this got discovered.
Yeah.
Bruce, there's another thing about Obama on this that was in the annex. So this is interesting. Two things came to the Obama administration that we're just now finding out. There are confidential conversations between Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the chair of the Democratic National Committee, and two individuals at Soros Open Society Foundations. It's Leonard Bernardo and Jeffrey Goldstein. So before I get to that, because I want to read those conversations to you. Before I get to that, we know now from that memorandum that President Barack Obama intended to scuttle the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server and mishandling of highly classified information during her time as Secretary of State. Well, he did scuttle it with the help of James Comey. But these are a composite of these emails from the Open Society. This is George Soros' organization, and these are his top people. And so this is what they're saying. This is written July. One is July 25th of 2016, and one is July 27th. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but Julie, they call this girl Julie. She's one of the higher-ups in Clinton's campaign. Julie says it will be a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump. Now, it's good for a post-convention bounce, but later, the FBI will put more oil into the fire. The outcome is far from clear, as Americans are more keen on their own woes, and Hillary's hardly good-looking as far as credibility is concerned. Anyway, this is ghastly for U.S.-Russian relations, Lenny. But listen to this, Bruce. Hillary Rodham Clinton, this is from Leonard Bernardo again running the Open Society, George Soros. Hillary Rodham Clinton approved Julie's idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. Julie's idea. It was Julie's idea to say that, and Hillary approved it. That should distract people from her own missing email, especially if the affair goes to the Olympic level. The point is making the Russian play a U.S. domestic issue. Say something like critical infrastructure threat for the election to feel menace, since both POTUS and Vice President POTUS have acknowledged the fact that the intelligence community would speed up searching for evidence that is regrettably still unavailable. Okay, let me boil that down. Evidence that there's collusion is regrettably still unavailable, he's bemoaning. But he's saying the Americans are going to have trouble believing this because we have to make this a domestic issue. And then we're going to say critical infrastructures. So we're going to use that word. And that's going to mean that they're trying to destroy our election system. That'll make it personal to Americans, and then they'll get upset. But he ends by saying, in the absence of direct evidence, because we don't have any direct evidence, CrowdStrike and Threat Connect will supply the media and will hopefully carry on and give more facts as they made them up. CrowdStrike is that organization that the FBI hired to look at Hillary Clinton's email, Bruce. Remember, they didn't investigate it themselves. They turned it over to CrowdStrike, working with George Soros.
Yeah, you know, the FBI, their participation in this just stinks to high heaven. As far back as March of 2016, we now have it documented that the FBI was aware of this, what we call the Clinton plan. In other words, they knew Hillary Clinton was making all this stuff up about whether or not Donald Trump had colluded with the Russians. Now, as a law enforcement agency, they should not be allowing someone to commit a fraud like that, let alone someone running for president. But instead of doing anything about it and stopping it, they eventually became involved in it. And you can hear through those emails of Bernardo the extent to which this conspiracy grew. You've got, they knew they could count on the FBI in the intelligence committee community. And then they also knew that they could count on the media. You know, I know we complain about the media all the time, but boy, they really did their part in all of this. They cherry-picked everything that they wanted to make it look like Trump was a Russian asset. They ignored the Clinton plan, quote unquote. Same thing with John Durham. You know, he had access to the documents that Tulsi Gabbard looked at, and he didn't find any of this. And Robert Mueller, let's not forget him. He looked at this for almost 2 years with a huge staff of FBI agents, and somehow they never found these things in the FBI files. They the biggest thing they said is that we know something happened, but we're not quite sure what happened in that election. After all that, that is basically their conclusion. And then Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General for the Department of Justice, he says, I don't see anything here. Some people probably didn't follow the rules.
Yes, that's right. He did say that.
Other than that, I really don't see anything, you know. And it's just astounding. It's astounding. And had Tulsi Gabbard not had the cojones to do this, we would still not know these things.
Yeah.
We all knew them in our heart, I think, that there's something wrong here. But now we're finding things in burn bags in the FBI. We're finding whistleblowers finally coming forward. You know, I've said for a long time, look, it's easy when you're not involved to say this, but it always bothered me that as a retired FBI employee, that more of our people who were aware of what was going on at the FBI did not come forward and become whistleblowers. But they saw how some of these other guys like Steve Friend were treated, and they just turtled up. They said, you know, I'm going to protect my career and I'm going to protect my pension.
But Bruce, to somebody's credit, those documents were put in those burn bags to be burned. And somebody dragged them out of there and hid them.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe v. Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly one in five pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this. And you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Okay, so that was the first part of my discussion with Bruce. And there's so much more to say. When we next convene, we're going to start with Hillary's part in this. A little more detail about it, what her campaign was doing, what she was doing. Then we're going to talk about the media and their complicity in it and some of the details about what they're doing now to carry on the conspiracy. And then I'm going to talk to you about the Senate Intelligence Committee, which also does not have clean hands. And we'll talk about that, too, in our part two of this treasonous conspiracy. So I want to thank you for listening today. And I know it's a lot of information, and so that's probably the best thing that we divided into half so you could digest some of it. We're trying to make it clear, but it's very hard to do, isn't it? It's very hard to do, but I think you get the gist of it. We have had some really serious breaches of our national security, of our integrity, and it was done in such a way that it has harmed not only a presidential candidate named Donald Trump and his presidency. Remember how he was hamstrung that first term? Because they were blocking him at every point. Hillary Clinton was calling him an illegitimate president. Remember that? That's what the media was saying. It was punishment, constant punishment. He was sued. He was impeached twice. All of these things, his family, just the suffering of it. But it's not just about President Trump. It's about the fact that these people that were supposed to be protecting their country, their United States of America, their families, our families from foreign enemies, from the border crossings, the invasion from the border, the dangerous buildup of bad actors like Iran, like North Korea, like Russia, like China, just letting them run wild while they are concentrating on destroying their current president. It's just breathtaking. And that's exactly what happened. So we'll talk about part two of it when next time you meet with us. I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they help us put our money where our values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.